Organizing America 3 hours each night. The Rick Smith Show.
And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. So you better listen to the voice of reason. But they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason. So you had better do as you were told.
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Website, ricksmithshow.com. So big day today. I got to tell you, between the tax thing and the death of net neutrality, if you're not angry, if you're not upset, if you're not ready to storm the Bastille, grab the pitchforks, the flaming sticks, I don't know what's gonna get you up off the couch. These last couple of days have just been infuriating. And the reality is what has to happen is 2018 is just around the corner. We need people who are going to step forward, stand up, and be the great working class champions that we need, the next generation of working class heroes. And one of those guys is my next guest. I'm really hopeful to see what happens in Illinois' 15th congressional district next November. That's why I've got Carl Sporer here. He is that candidate for the 15th district there in Illinois. Carl, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick.
So, you know, I look at what happened today with the death of net neutrality. I look at this tax thing. More than ever, we need people with some sanity and some working class ethic in the halls of power.
Well, absolutely. I mean, everything seems to be a fire sale these days, whether it's federal lands or net neutrality or the future with this tax bill. Everything's for sale, and we've got to take government back.
Yeah, I get the idea that things are for sale, but, you know, what did we get for the net neutrality thing, for ending that? I don't know that we, the people, got anything but screwed.
Well, our congressman got $101 million in campaign contributions.
Okay, there you go. Now we know who got paid. It wasn't you or me.
No, and we're going to pay. I mean, it's just basic common sense. If companies invest $101 million into something, they're expecting a huge return on investment, and that return is going to be tolls and all sorts of restrictions on what we can see. These are the kinds of things that go on in countries like China. Now I guess it's come to America.
I wouldn't even say China has this kind of screwed up scenario, but you know, you may be right. Because look, at the end of this, you look at what we're seeing. If it wasn't the health care, if it the tax bill, this, it's really a fundamental shift in what made this country great, which was a government of, for, and by we the people, not so much the corporation.
Well, it is definitely an oligarchy, or maybe even a plutocracy, which is when a small group of rich people run the country, and that certainly looks like what's going on. International, multinational corporations and a small group of billionaires are in control of everything, and even with all that they have, they want to take more when there's almost nothing left to give, and that's really a primary concern for me, and one of my major motivators is, you know, we are kind of getting to that place where we're going to have a last chance to have a democratic revolution. And if it goes another 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and the amount of people that have nothing to lose gets to a critical mass, I mean, we could have some serious upheaval in this country, and we've got to head that off.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I've been saying for a very long time. In fact, you know, I was saying last year during the election, with all of this anger and all of this frustration and all of this being pent up, if Trump wins and when he won, I said, you know, what's going to happen with that anger and how do you use it when he doesn't deliver? And in fact, he does what he has been doing, making that anger worse and making those people's lives actually worse. I mean, I'm sure they don't know it yet, but it's going to harm them, his base, I think, the most.
Well, I mean, this tax scam plan that is being put forward, the people that voted for him, his primary base and voting block, they're going to be hurt the worst, and they're going to see the least for the least amount of time. I hope that a light goes on in their heads at some point in time, and they realize just how bad they got the short end of the stick on this.
So let me ask you this. I mean, as you're out, and as I get this, you have one of the largest congressional districts in the entire country, geographically speaking, and it's a fairly conservative area, correct?
Absolutely. We're the biggest district east of the Mississippi, and we're approximately 61% Republican, and the rest, a great many are Democrats and a few independents. But absolutely. But I've gone to places that Trump won by 49 points. And honestly, the first time or two I went to a place like that, I had some concerns for my well-being, to be honest with you. I think as any rational human being would.
Right.
But as you start talking to folks, most of them haven't seen their representative. And the fact that a representative or someone who hopes to be a representative has come and taken the time to listen to what they have to say and to offer them a few rational and reasonable possible solutions to some of the things that are going on in these towns the size of 3,000 or 4,000 or 1,500 folks. That have just been completely ignored, they appreciate the fact that you care enough to come down and visit with them. And so I don't know what the outcome will be in a district that is this red, but I know there are a lot of districts that are a lot closer, even here in southern Illinois, and they're going to go blue for sure. If Alabama is any indication of what's out there, these districts that are only 55% or 52% Republican, they're going to go blue for sure because there's enough independents and intelligent thinking Republicans that will give the proper consideration to what they actually got in the deal, and they'll turn those districts.
I hope so, because the hope is that, you know, the damage so far isn't absolutely permanent. I mean, the Supreme Court absolutely big trouble there. But, you know, so far, nothing really horrible has happened that can't be undone in 2018, which is why I think it's so important that people like you step forward and say, you know what, we're going to go talk to those people and we're going to put ourselves on the line. Because, you know, I think in this country what's happened is we've gotten so used to shouting at each other that we don't actually listen and have these conversations, you know, with the internet and with all kinds of things. You don't actually, you know, sit across the table and have a beer with somebody you disagree with.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, because just today I was speaking to one of my supporters, and she was out doing some canvassing door to door, and she said she had heard two or three people say the same thing. You know, I'd never really talked to a Democrat before. And, you know, we've got to stop with this R's and D's and first put, an A at the end of our names. And we're Americans first.
Right.
And then we'll lean one way or the other based on upbringing or philosophy. But, you know, we are all in the same boat and fighting each other. All that does is make the multinational corporations and the billionaire class happy, because us divided is how they're stealing everything from us. We've got to come together. We have got to unite as a working class, regardless of political affiliation, and come together and say, enough is enough. It's time to restore some sanity and some moral and ethics to the leadership of our country and the way we operate when we talk to each other.
No, I'm spot on right there with you. But, you know, how do you do that when, you know, ideologically, you look at the Republican Party, and right now there's very little ideologically that they put on the table that I agree with, and I would argue that most working class people don't necessarily agree with. You know, how do you bridge, when you're talking with somebody, how do you bridge that divide?
Well, I kind of look at it a little differently, Rick. I kind of see it as an oil fire. An oil rig catches on fire. You can't put it out with water or chemicals. What do? You take a great big pack of dynamite and you blow it up and you take all the oxygen away and the fire goes out and you cap it and everything's under control. I think that's what this presidency and what is going on in the Republican side of the House, I think that's what we're going to get in America. We're taking it to, you know, the most extreme place that we can go, and I think they're going to blow themselves up, and this fire is going to blow out, or at least enough of it is going to blow out that we can get Democrats back in control and down. And I think we're starting to see some of that already.
I sure hope you're right. I mean, you know, Tuesday night, the election in Alabama restored a touch of hope because I've been saying, you know, how far down is rock bottom? And I guess, you know, alleged pedophilia is you know, the bottom of where they're going to go. I sure hope you're right.
Well, and the other thing that I think you and I think you're a little bit younger than I am, but, you know, people of our generation are not realizing is what's going on with the majority of this younger generation. And I think some of that was responsible for what happened in Alabama. I mean, you even had the young Republicans come out and say, we're not going to support Roy Moore. And so as the baby boomers start, voting less or passing away, and this new generation that has come up with a different set of rules starts to take hold, I think that's going to create a good bit of change. And I also, what we saw in Alabama was the African American community, it really is starting to get engaged, because when they see what's going on with Donald Trump, they feel fear, and they know what fear looks like and have lived it their whole lives, and they're starting to use their voting power. So I think between the younger generation and the waking up of people of color, both Latinos and African Americans, I think we're going to do well.
I sure hope so. The website is carl2018.com if you want to check out Carl Sporer's website. Also, you can follow him on Twitter. carlsporer2018 is the Twitter handle. In looking at, you know, this election, I mean, money is a huge driver. And I think you said that your opponent, you know, I forgot how much money he brought in over this being spent in his area. Money's a huge part of this. And getting folks like you a couple of bucks, some volunteers, that's always the struggle, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And we are a relatively poor rural district. And so it is a struggle. Our campaign is connected with some people that are going to help us make a national campaign out of this. Our congressman is now sitting on the Reconciliation Committee, so he's put a huge target on his back by doing so. He's also made some very unfortunate statements along the way, like saying God is going to cure global warming and men shouldn't pay for prenatal health care. So we're really envisioning that we're going to get some help from outside the district, because this guy has now achieved a level where, on a national basis, people are starting to see how bad he is. And that's really the wild card in this. If we're able to do that, we're going to give him a heck of a run.
No, I mean, this is what has to happen all across the country. And this is why I suggest people, you know, the Bernie Sanders for the entire election was talking about $27.
Yep.
You know, we get a bunch of people throwing 27 bucks into an election. We get some actual money to be able to compete. And I hate to say it, but it comes down to dollars and cents to be able to compete in this election, in this environment. I wish it weren't that way, but it is.
Well, we definitely need campaign finance reform. And you hit the nail directly on the head, as usual. People ask me, well, what can I do to help? And younger people that are raising families, they don't have time. If you can donate $2 or $3 or $5, or if you can, you know, give a couple hours on a Saturday and stuff envelopes, the first thing that's got to happen is people have got to say and realize that things are really bad, and democracy is not free, and it takes work and to get engaged. And there are all sorts of things that you can do. It's just a matter of finding what you're good at and what you fits your time and schedule. And if you can't do any of that, like you say, if you can donate a few dollars, it's all helpful. All those things added up together is what turns these districts and what makes an Alabama happen. It took all of those things. And so don't feel helpless. Don't feel like there's nothing you can do, or, you know, with my $5 or $10, is that going to help? Yes, it is going to help. And you know what? You're going to feel good. You're going to feel like you're a part of that. You're going to feel invested. If you can just say, hey, on primary day or on election day, I'm going to make sure one of my friends gets to, or two of my friends, I'm going to commit myself to getting them to the voting booth. I'm going to start working 2 or 3 months beforehand. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to have it set up. If I have to give them a ride, I mean, there's all sorts of things that can be done to turn these things, and we can all be a part of it. And it's important that we're all a part of it, and we're all invested in it.
Great stuff. And look, I think I said this a while ago, I think Donald Trump is going to be remembered as one of the greatest presidents for bringing this country together. He's going to be the great uniter. Now, granted, we're going to be united against him, but it's going to be he's going to unite the country.
Well, absolutely. You know, I coach young women at the university, and they, you know, they were very concerned when he was first elected, and their concerns are continue to go on. And they say, God, it's never been worse. I say, well, you know what? I would imagine that people that lived through World War II, I would imagine that was worse than what we have right now. And look what happened when the war ended. We went through this greatest cycle of prosperity. It was one of the best times in our country, and maybe the best time in our country. So, you know, going through when you're in the middle of tough times, it's hard to see the light. But, you know, the tougher the times, the greater you're going to feel and the greater things are going to be on the other side. And like you said, you know, thank you, Donald Trump, for making things so tough and making us realize who we are and that our democracy is valuable. We're going to fight for it. And when we get it back, we're going to appreciate it.
That's good stuff. And look, as you brought up World War II, it was the organizing that went on during the Great Depression and the organizing that went on during the war to push for better wages, hours, conditions, for safety nets, all of that stuff. And now, same thing. We got to be organizing. We got to be out there pushing candidates, folks like you. Carl, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you. Keep it up and love to have you back again soon.
Hey, I love talking to you. Have a great time. And thank you, listeners, for having me give me a little bit of your evening.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Carl. Carl Spoehr, you want to check out his website, carl2018.com. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com, or you can follow him on Twitter, carlspoehr2018. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.